lives, fighting and clawing their way across the plains.
And they all lay still now. Harmless as the grass they feed up on Boot Hill. And that was the way the West was.
Who are you talking to now, old man?
Why does everybody keep telling me I'm old?
Because you are, and so am I, but not old enough to have lived in the Wild West. You've been remembering too many of those stories your father used to tell us about that ancestor of yours, that great-great-uncle who came over from England. What was his name?
Kendall. Joseph right. Byron Kendall. He's the one that old trunk belonged to, the one my father left me. You know, in the garage. Mm.
Henry, what's that on your shirt? Where'd you get that badge?
This? Marshal Dillon gave it to me. I'm his deputy.
Marshal Dillon, you've had another visitor? You've been sitting in the sun too long. I told you to put a hat on.
Well, if you had come out when I called, you would have seen him too.
Oh, Henry, that's not funny. I'm going back in the house. It's too warm for me out here.
Salad can't wait. I'm going to the garage to look in that trunk. I think there's a hat there. Gosh, it's heavy.
Hello there, Henry. Do you need a hand with that old trunk of mine?
Yours? Who are you? And how do you know my name?
Well, don't you recognize me? I'm your great-great-uncle, J.B. Kendall.
There's a pattern here. I was just talking with Gladys about you, and poof, suddenly you appear. Is that how it works?
Well, maybe. I couldn't say.
Well, all right. Now I'm thinking about a beautiful young girlfriend I had when I was 24, with long blonde hair.
Hold on there. I should think your wife Gladys might have a little something to say about that.
That was Gladys.
Oh, I see. Anyhow, right now there's something in that trunk that I need. Oh, say, Henry, why don't you have this hat? I have one already.
Well, thanks.
Ah, here's what I was looking for. Maps of the territories.
There, how do I look?
Oh, like a first-rate cowboy.
Thanks a lot.
What for?
For not calling me old-timer.
Well, cheerio, lad. I'll leave my memoirs to you. They'll be in that old trunk, too, somewhere.
Wait, I need to tell Gladys you're here.
Maybe next time, Henry. Maybe next time.
Hey, here they are. There seem to be only two kinds of people in Montana Territory. The good and the bad. And sometimes it's hard to tell which is which.
Frontier gentlemen, here with an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I was on my way back to Fort Benton on the Missouri River when I reached Helena. And there I was lucky enough to receive an offer of transportation in a wagon. My companion, or Bullwhacker, as he called himself, was a leathery, stringy chap who might have been 50 or 70. It was hard to tell. His name was George Scales, and he seemed more than happy to have someone to talk to.
Yes, sir! I was one of the first out to the California Gold Rush. Went out with my father in 49. Now, how old would you figure I am, boy?
Well, I really couldn't
58.
Say.
58! Wouldn't think it, would you?
Well, I really don't know.
58! Never had a sick day in my life. Been married 3 times, buried 2. The 3rd got took by Apaches down in Arizona Territory. I pity the poor son of a gun Indian that's hooked up with her. Boy, she was the meanest piece of calico you ever set eyes on. That was a lucky day for me. Are you married?
No, I'm definitely not.
Will you take my advice, boy? Hey, what did you say your name was?
Kendall.
Kendall? You ain't kin to the Brown County, Texas Kendalls, are you?
No.
Oh, no, come to think of it, their name wasn't Kendall, it was Fidgin. Now, how come you figure I misremembered that? Now, what was we talking about?
I'm not quite sure.
Now, you take my father, 86 years old 2 weeks back. I'm taking him home to bury him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, ain't a thing for sorrow. All got to go up to Salt River sometime. The old buzzard's been out in California better than 30 years. Well, ain't no place for a man to sack his saddle. So last trip out, I said, Pa, I gotta take you back to Kentucky. Because when you bite the dust, it ain't fitting that you do it in this place. That's what I said.
Oh, I see, yes.
Yeah, we got us a place in Kentucky. Figure he ought to rest comfortable there.
Well, Did he die on the way? On the way to California?
Well, if he did, it's since you got on back in Helena. No, the old buzzard ain't dead yet. He's asleep in the wagon.
Oh, I see.
Eats and sleeps. Ain't much else to do, I guess. Old buzzard, deaf as a post. When he wakes up, you just say hello. Smile at him, and he'll think that's fine. Just fine. Oh, you want a piece of chaw?
No, thank you.
You don't talk much, do you?
Well, I suppose not.
What's your business?
I'm a newspaper correspondent.
Writer?
Yes.
Newspaper feller, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, had me a run-in with one of your kind back in 62. Or maybe it was 63. I was a mule skinner with Major McCleave down in Apache country. You ever been down there?
No, I never have.
Mean, purely mean country. Ain't fitting for nothing.
Hey, sonny!
Hey, the old buzzards woke up. Everything's fine, Pa.
I'm hungry.
Oh, you ain't never nothing but, Pa. Got a way to go yet, Pa. Hey, this here's Mr. Kendall. He got on in Helena.
Huh?
How do you do, Mr. Scales?
Yeah.
It don't matter what you say. Just talk good and loud.
Yes, sir. I understand you're going back to Kentucky. What on earth is he saying?
No telling. You go back to sleep, you old buzzard. I'll tell you when it's time to eat. He's gonna do it. Guess he didn't like you.
Oh.
Paul meets a stranger, he'll talk your ear off. Talkingest man I've ever seen. If he don't take to you, he does what I tell him. Like as not, he'll keep his mouth shut now till you get off in Benton.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, no cause. No cause, mister. A man can't help what he is. I just hope you ain't like that sheep-killing dog of a newspaper fella I was telling you about. I sure did sharpen my hoe on him.
Well, whatever he did, I assure you, I'll be very careful not to make the same mistake.
Newspaper fellas!
At midday, we stopped for our meal. Scales, Senior and Junior, kept up an extraordinary conversation, during which time I was completely ignored. An offering of tobacco mellowed Scales somewhat, and I felt that possibly I might be forgiven for my sin by association. It was late that afternoon when we saw the three riders. They were halted by the side of the road.
If you know how to use that gun of yours, Kendall, you'd better be ready to reach.
You think they're outlaws?
Man's bone season. He don't take chances. Not in these parts.
Well, it looks as though one of them's hurt.
Well, that's a fact, and, well, I'll be a way-belly stump sucker. Ha! A woman! What's a woman? Look at that! If that don't beat all. Whoa! Whoa there! Whoa! Hey, you got trouble?
Haven't got any medicines, have you?
Nope. But we got some whiskey.
It's my husband. He's hurt kind of bad.
Oh, it ain't nothing, I tell you, Dory. Just let me rest a while and we'll get on.
You ain't gonna make it, Bill.
Shut up. Mister, I'll buy you whiskey. That'll fix me.
No such a thing. It isn't whiskey you need. Either of you gents know about doctrine?
No, ma'am.
Well, I know a little, but not much.
Let him take a look, Bill. Jack, here, come on, give him a hand down. Come on,
you Bill. Know, Kendall, I got a feeling I know that feller. I've seen him, but I ain't sure where.
Well, why don't you bring your whiskey out, Mr. Scales? It looks as if he could use it.
Huh? All right.
Here, get your jacket off.
Easy, woman.
Oh, man, that's sure
take it easy.
Wicked.
Oh, you'd better sit down, Mr. Scales. There's a rock over there. Come along. When did this happen?
3 days ago.
And did you get the bullet out?
No.
I'm all right, I tell you. Just let me rest.
No, you're not all right. That's gangrene. The shoulder and the arm. There's a doctor in Helena. It wouldn't take you more than 3 hours to get there.
We ain't going to Helena, mister. We're going to Fort Benton.
But that's over 100 miles. You've got a fever. If I were you, I'd
You ain't me.
Oh, Bill, he's right. Now, please, let's go back.
No.
I think I could remove the bullet, but that won't help.
Well, you ain't no doctor.
Here, pour some of this panther juice in your gizzard. Cure everything from the rattlesnake. Woo, doggy, no, it ain't gonna cure that.
Give me the bottle. Take a good big slug, Bill.
Hey, don't I know him someplace?
Not likely to, mister.
I ain't never forgot a face. I swear I seen his. Mind if I ask your name?
I'm obliged for your whiskey. We'll be moving on.
Bill, what good's it gonna do? You're sick. You can't ride all that way. Now do like he says, and let's just go back.
Dory, you heard what I said. Now, come on now.
Bill!
He fainted. We carried him to the wagon and put him inside. The aged parent woke up, smiled pleasantly at the newcomers, and watched with interest as the wife and the one called Jack did what they could to make the wounded man comfortable. I felt a tug at my sleeve. Scales drew me away from the wagon.
I know him. I remember. I know who he is. I never forgot a man's face. Only difference now, he ain't got that mustache he used to wear. The Powder River Kid. Bill Logan, that's who.
Oh?
Oh, ain't you got no savvy? The Powder River Kid. He's wanted more territories than even the James boys. Well, I've seen the posters. There's $2,000 reward for him, dead or alive. Well, what do you say? Make pretty good sharings, huh? Muy dinero. 1,000 for you, 1,000 for me.
Well, of course, his wife and his friend might just have a little something to say about that.
Then we shoot him. Sure, shoot him now. Then we can take the kid on into Benton and collect.
I don't think he'll live that long, and not without a doctor.
Who's talking about alive? The posters say live or dead. Come to think of it, we'd be better off if we shot him. Might be a sack full of trouble. I seen him draw once down in Virginia City it was. He fanned two men so quick, he had his gun back in his holster before they hit the ground.
Mister?
Yes, coming.
Well, their fella's getting out of the wagon. We gonna kill him?
No.
He's still unconscious, mister. You said you could take out the bullet. Maybe it'd do some good.
No, there's too much poison. He's got one chance, and that's to take him back to Helena.
This your wagon, Mr. Kendall?
No, ma'am, it's mine, George Scales.
Mr. Scales, I'll pay you $200 if you'll turn around and take us back to Helena.
Well, now, that's a mighty attractive offer.
I don't know, Dory. Bill said
I don't care what he said. He's dying.
No, I ain't. Mister, my wife offered you $200 to take me back to Helena. Will you let me rest a while in your wagon till I'm fit to ride the other way? And I'll make it $300.
Well, that's fair. Yes, sir, that's a fair deal. I'll do that. Make yourself to home. The old buzzard's my paw. If he talks at you too much, just beller good and loud. Go to sleep, you old buzzard!
You ride here with me, Dory. Jack, you stay on your horse.
Sure, Bill. Just take it easy.
All right, boys. Let's vamoose. Yeah, we'll be getting some rain by and by.
Yes, might be an idea to camp pretty soon.
Bet the Powder River Kid thinks so. This trail ain't the softest. Hey, how long you figure till he hangs up his hat?
No, I don't know, but I certainly wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, I ain't worrying. But been doing some thinking. How come you suppose he don't want to go back to Helena?
Well, somebody's after him, I imagine.
That's my guess. And if somebody is a U.S. Marshal, and that Marshal finds him before the kid dies, you figure maybe we'll have to cut another share of the reward?
A fine legal point.
Well, I ain't gonna worry. Dark coming on. Hey, there's a likely looking clearing up the road. Yeah, I got to feed the old buzzard. Yeah, 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 yar!
After the supper, I walked away from the camp to a rise overlooking the Missouri. There were flashes of lightning in the east, and you could see the outline of heavy, black clouds. But there hadn't been any rain yet. I stood for about 10 minutes smoking my pipe, and then I heard steps behind me.
Scales said you come up this way.
How does your husband?
Well, I think the fever's worse. Will he make it?
I'm not a doctor.
Oh, you don't have to be.
You should have gone back to Helena.
He couldn't. He was afraid to. Scales knows who he is, doesn't he? You know.
Yes.
There's been a marshal trailing us for 6 months. He caught up with Bill in Helena. My brother Jack helped him get away, and we hid out in town for 3 days.
Well, why didn't you get to a doctor?
Oh, he wouldn't let us. There's a reward. Bill was afraid a doctor would try and collect, just like your friend wants to.
Yeah, he is pretty obvious, isn't he?
Oh, a man's luck runs out, and the coyotes start a-snapping for the leavings. Me and Bill was on our way to Benton before the marshal caught up with him. We figured to go back east.
Were you and your brother both working for Logan?
Oh, no, no. Bill hadn't done anything wrong since we was married. Mr. Kendall, I'll tell you a straight thing. I haven't been with a man like you'd call a decent woman. Most of my life, I've been a wild one, but not since Bill.
Wish I could help Mrs. Logan.
Well, I really come to ask you. I saw it done once before with a man's leg that got like Bill's arm. They cut it off.
Yes, I thought of that. And it's too late. The poison's in his shoulder. And it wouldn't do any good. I'm sorry.
A preacher out in Utah married us. He'd never heard of the Powder River Kid. He thought we was nice folks. Well, I better get back to camp.
I went with her. Jack was with Logan in the wagon. Scale's father was sitting on his haunches by the campfire, sucking on a piece of root candy and whittling on a sliver of wood. He rocked back and forth, humming to himself. Scales leaned against a tree, ruminating on a piece of tobacco. He beckoned me.
What did she want?
She wanted me to cut off his arm.
That's a woman for you. You aim to do it?
No, it wouldn't do any good. It'd probably kill him.
Sure wouldn't think he was a gunslinger, would you? Not now, you wouldn't. Sick and whimpering like a dying pup.
You think we could go on tonight?
No, not on this trail. With rains coming, no sir. Besides, the old buzzard don't like traveling in the dark. I hope he don't keep that up all night. None of us will get any shut-eye.
Oh, now lie back, honey. It'll be better.
Anything I could do, Jack?
No. He's sick to the head right now. Don't even know Dory. Dory says you know about us. We figured so. I think you're all right, Kendall. My sister does, too. But I want to tell you not to start thinking about that reward.
A few minutes later, it began to rain and continued intermittently all through the night. But the dawn was clear and bright. It took the combined efforts of oxen, horses, and men to take the wagon back onto the trail. The wheel had sunk nearly hub deep in the mud. But as the sun rose, we were on our way northward again. Bill Logan was no longer delirious, but in the grayness of his face, I knew that he did not have long to live. It was in the early afternoon that his wife called out to me.
Mr. Kendall?
Yes?
Will you come back a minute?
Yes, all right.
Maybe he's dead, huh?
Maybe.
He wants to talk to you.
Dory, go on up with that bullwhacker. What I got to say is private.
Make him stay quiet, please.
Come over closer, will you? Is the old man asleep?
Yes.
Now listen, I'm finished. There ain't no doctor nor nothing's gonna help me now. I feel it. Now, I never asked a favor of no man in my life, and I'm asking one now.
Well, what is it?
There's a reward for me. That ain't much, only 2,000. But it means something for Dory. They ain't gonna pay no reward for a man that's died natural-like. Or if they do, like as not, it'll go to the marshal fella for starting me off. I want you to fix it so Dory can get it.
Well, how?
Will you fill me full of lead?
What, shoot you?
Yeah, shoot me.
No.
I trust you. You see, I trust you to give the money to Dory.
You're out of your head.
No, mister, I ain't. Last night, but not now. It's the best I can do for her. She's a good woman. Now let me give her something, for she don't have to go back to what she was.
Yes, but I can't kill you.
Well, you got a right to. Look, I'm wanted, Kendall. I've done more killings than I can remember. It ain't a wrong thing for you to do. You could say I was trying to escape.
Yes, but I can't.
Well, if and I draw on you?
Oh, it doesn't make any difference. We both know you wouldn't shoot. Sorry. I don't think he felt very much pain after that. He just drank Scale's whiskey and talked quietly to his wife. He died just before the sun went down.
Well, I guess he's dead now.
Yes, I think so.
You figure she'll want to take him into Benton or bury him right here?
I don't know.
Sure does seem a shame and a sin to see that reward go up in smoke.
Well, perhaps it doesn't have to.
What? What do you mean? How come?
Yes, I could ride back to Helena. It wouldn't take more than a few hours.
What good would that do?
Well, I'd take him back with me.
Yeah?
All you have to do is see they don't try to stop me.
Listen, boy, for $1,000, nobody's gonna stop him. The old buzzard's still spry enough to hold a gun. I just have to tell him where to point it is all. Hey, how do I know you'll come back?
Well, I imagine you'll just have to take my word for it.
Ain't never trusted a newspaper feller yet. but I guess there ain't no choice.
I give you my word of honor, I'll come back.
All right. The Powder River Kid's going back to Helena.
Scale shouted instructions to his father, who disarmed the dead man and Curry, then held a gun steady, smile on his old face, head nodding approvingly. I took Logan's body out of the wagon and tied it onto a horse. Just before I rode away, I saw Mrs. Logan watching me, crying. A soundless, terrible cry. I must have traveled 10 miles into the night before I found the courage to do what I had to do. I led the horses off the road, tethered them, and took down Logan's body. He looked peaceful. Forgive me, Logan. I delivered the body to the marshal in Helena and collected $2,000 reward for the capture and the killing of Bill Logan, alias the Powder River Kid. Then I took the horses and rode back to where I'd left the wagon.
Did you get it, boy? Did you get the money?
I got it.
One of these days, I'm gonna catch up with you, mister.
Get on your horses. You too, Mrs. Logan. Go on.
One of these days.
That was fine, boy. Fine. Now, come on, let's divvy up.
I'm afraid not, Mr. Scales.
What?
I've got some bad news for you.
Oh,
you're
now,
getting
hold on
nothing.
A
exactly nothing. Drop your gun or the old buzzard's going to lose his son.
I might have known. Just like the other one. A stinking, no good, low down newspaper feller.
Goodbye, Mr. Scales. It's been a most unpleasant association. I took Logan's horse and caught up with Mrs. Logan and her brother a little further along the Boulogne Road. I gave her the $2,000, and together we rode on into Fort Benton, Montana Territory.
All right, Henry, dinner's ready. Well, look at you. Isn't that one of JB's old hats? Well, that will keep the sun off.
I can't come in now, Gladys. They'll come back and I need to be here.
Who, Henry? I just don't understand who you're talking about.
All of them. The Lone Ranger, Matt Dillon, Red Rider, and even Great Uncle Kendall.
I think you've gotten too much sun today. Just come on in and wash up.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Who are you?
I'm the Lone Ranger, ma'am.
Henry,
she's fainted. Help me get her into this chair.
Gladys, speak to me.
What happened? Who are you? You gave me quite a start.
Begging your pardon, ma'am. I'm the Lone Ranger, and I'm going to need your husband's help. You see, Tonto is in real trouble, and it's going to take the two of us to get him back. Henry is just the man for the job. He's already a deputy. He has a hat and a badge, and I have spare guns in the saddlebags.
Guns? Saddles? Oh, Henry, tell him you can't go. Your sal is all ready, and
Gladys,
I need you here.
A man's got to do what a man's got to do.
What?
You see, Gladys, I'm a direct descendant of J.B. Kendall. It's in my blood, and the Lone Ranger needs my help.
You mean all this time you were telling the truth?
Yep.
I brought this chestnut mare for you, Henry. Can you handle her?
Oh, you just watch me. Come on, Lone Ranger. We've got a job to do.
I'm afraid there's no time to lose. We'll have to ride on through the night. Have you got any provisions?
Provisions?
We'll have to eat on the trail.
Oh, Henry and I were just about to sit down to supper. I'll go put some things in a Tupperware for
you. Gladys, not the salad.
Oh, you're right. Where you're going, I think you'll both need something a lot meatier. I'll pack up the stew.
Oh, Gladys, I think I love you.
That'll do us just fine. We'll just load it up with us and it'll make a fine meal. Henry, what's Tupperware?
Oh, it's kind of like your canteen. I'll tell you on the way. Oh, boy, stew. Which direction are we headed?
We follow the sunset, and we'll ride through most of the night. Saddle up.
Oh, this is getting better and better.
Oh, Henry, look at you up on that horse. My hero. Oh, I could just cry.
No time for tears. Now kiss me, woman.
Are you super? Away!
Oh, who was that masked man? Oh, well, I guess I'll eat the salad. Men.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and dear listeners at home. That's our show. How the West Was Heard was brought to you with kind cooperation from Henrico Division of Parks and Recreation and WZEZ-FM. Your vocal performers were Ellen Criswell, Lori Folmer, Mark Folmer, Shane Harris, Mike McKay, Rob Scanion, Michael Shapiro, and Lynn West. The sound effects wizards were Lisa Berberet, Bob Dutton, and Cheryl Criswell. Our music maestro was Brett Zwerdling. In the recording booth, Mr. Devin Langston. Grateful thanks to Amy Perdue and the staff at the Cultural Arts Center. The Lone Ranger, Trouble at Rafter H, was first performed July 9, 1954. Red Rider, Roaring River Renegades was written by Paul Franklin and first performed March 22, 1949. Gunsmoke, Cheap Labor was first performed June 17, 1956 and was written by John Meston. Frontier Gentleman, The Power River Kid was first performed on April 6, 1958 and was written by Anthony Ellis. All scripts are used by permission. Your producer was Mark Munson, who was directed by Gary Wade. Additional material and was conceived and written by Gary Wade and Margie Langston. Thank you and good night. Hi-ho, Silver, away!